Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 17, 2017. Just ask more of the creator. Question: what does it mean to practically treat the friend or the teacher as the creator? Do I have to implicitly justify them like the creator who cannot be perceived or understood? Answer: the student should absorb what the teacher says and teaches him and accordingly behave with the friends to establish a connection in which the creator is revealed. Everything depends on the type of the connection between them. You have to melt among the friends and become an embryo, a drop of semen in the womb, in order to attain the first spiritual attribute between us, the level of nephesh, which the smallest light. This is what everyone has to do with regard to others in the group of ten, which will create the precondition for the revelation of the Creator. But it is impossible to do that on our own, and so there is no need to yearn for that, since it is like wanting to fly without wings. This is not the work we should do, and it is a problem if people wish to attain it physically. There is no need to put pressure on each other and to insist on physical actions such as hugging more, reading together, etc. All you need to do is to ask more and more that the Creator do it for us, since all our other requests and expectations are merely egoistic. When you turn to the Creator, the altruistic element is inevitably activated. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, August 7, 2016. From my weekly column in Ynet, The Right in Europe, A Ticking Time Bomb. The last referendum in Italy and the resignation of Prime Minister Renzi announce the strengthening of fascist movements and prove that it is time for Europeans to unite. Currently, the winds of nationalistic protests are targeted at the establishment, but they might soon be targeted against millions of immigrants, and later, as has happened in the past, against the Jews. Rav Leitman explains how to defuse the ticking nationalistic bomb that threatens the fate of the Jewish people. In my latest articles, I have gone into great detail discussing the current global changes and have explained that it all stems from the laws of nature, which the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches. The world is changing, the economy is taking on a new form, regimes are changing before our very eyes, and the voice of the British people who chose to leave the EU and the voice of the Americans who lead Trump to the White House were echoed in the voice of the Italian people who said no to the referendum and strongly opposed reforms in the Italian constitution, a real rebellion in the faltering EU. The winds of nationalistic protest in Italy are now targeted at the political establishment, but they may change direction and target the millions of foreign immigrants and later, as always, the Jews. This dangerous fascist, anti-Semitic trend could affect the fate of Europe, the fate of the Jewish people, and the fate of humanity as a whole. The collective is greater than the sum of its parts. Fascism is part of the Italian DNA. In 1919, about a year after WWI, fascism as a worldview led to the emergence of a dictatorial regime in Italy, which replaced liberal democracy. Italian fascists attributed great significance to the idea of the eternal state and demanded the mortal individual to sacrifice himself, his aspirations, and his goals for the greater good. There are no social classes, there are no individuals, and the nation is a live and breathing body. Through coherent nationalistic ideology emphasizing hatred of foreigners, the purported founder of fascism Benito Mussolini rallied his countrymen to extricate them from poverty, social problems, and unemployment, the same issues Italy faces today. Mussolini himself came up with the term fascism, which stems from the Italian word fascio, meaning bundle or unity. It is an ancient Roman symbol of a bundle of wooden rods as a representation of strength through unity in contrast to the weakness of the individual. It is an egoistic and exploitative connection whose sole purpose is to gain power and control, and it eventually led to the destruction of the United Nation. 100 years after it faded away, the nationalistic parties are reawakening and indicate the real need for unity. It is perfectly clear that the unity that stems from narrow egoism is concerned only about its own nation. The question is whether there is another option. Is it possible to lead the growing need for unity onto a new track and, if so, how? The Jewish logo. Unlike the fascist logo, hundreds of years ago, the large Israeli force unity of the Jewish people was likened to a bundle of reeds. If someone takes a bundle of reeds, can he break them all at once? If taking them one by one, even a baby can break them, Tanch humor. The story of the unity of Israel goes back to ancient Babylon about 3,500 years ago. In those days, the primitive society was like one family where everyone understood each other. Now the entire earth was of one language and uniform words, Genesis 11:1. Suddenly, men's egoistic nature erupted. The same desire to receive pleasure which motivates us through pleasure or suffering demanded greater pleasures at the expense of others. The mutual exploitation led to a deep social crisis that split the Babylonians and led to a civil war. The frustrated Babylonians looked for a way out of the thicket of the social crisis, and salvation appeared in the form of Abraham, the great Babylonian priest of the time who gathered them around him, taught them the wisdom of Kabbalah and how to be connected and love each other. A group of once estranged Babylonians connected as one man in one heart and were called Israel because of their desire to resemble the Creator, Yasharel, to attribute everything to the one force of nature that is whole and eternal. From the moment the nation of Israel was established, it had one goal only, to serve as an example of unity for the other parts of divided humanity, to be a light of the nations of the world. The Jewish nation has undergone many changes. After the destruction of the Second Temple, egoism grew and unfounded hatred intensified. Brotherly love and the sublime value of unity ceased to illuminate the spiritual vision, and the nation dispersed all over the world for 2,000 years of exile. The Jews cannot wander all over the world and assimilate with the other nations forever because they have a great responsibility and an obligation to bring to the world the method of connection. Every time the Jews tried to deny their role, they soon were reminded of it in the form of anti-Semitism, which is the law of nature. Anti-Semitism in brief. At the beginning of the 20th century, Henry Ford, a great anti-Semite, published a series of booklets called The International Jew, in which he wrote, "The Jew has gotten used to thinking that he is the only proprietor of society's humanism for too long. Society has a great demand from the Jew, that he should cease to be aloof, that he should stop his abuse of the world, that he should stop relating to Jewish groups as the goal of all his profits, and that he should start fulfilling the ancient prophecy, since it is by that all the nations on earth will be blessed." Ford is one of many examples. In 1364, Polish King Casimir III said that the Jews were always scheming, wanting to harm the Christians, to exploit them, and impoverish them financially. In 1885, German philosopher Paul de Legardes offered the German people a detailed plan as to how to get rid of the loathsome Jewish race living among them. He said that one doesn't negotiate with pests and parasites and one doesn't educate them, but they should be destroyed as speedily and thoroughly as possible. Adolf Hitler, the odious, wrote, "For the Jewish spirit is the product of the Jewish person. Unless we expel the Jewish people soon, they will have Judaized our people within a very short time." We all know how his words were made into actions. But even after the Holocaust that hit European Jews hard, the winds of hatred are blowing again. The French writer and diplomat Jean Giraudoux wrote that the French racial stock was being threatened by hordes of Eastern and Central European ghetto Jews descending upon France. These Jewish barbarians inclined toward lawlessness, and their corruption undermined the native artisanal traits of precision, perfection, and trust. Unity heals the wounds of humanity. Hitler, Ford, and many anti-Semites throughout history have subconsciously felt that the Jewish nation has a meaningful role in the world, and that it doesn't fulfill it. When unity among the people of Israel weakens, fascism and Nazism grow stronger, so it is no wonder that in this generation all the destroyers among the nations of the world are raising their heads and mainly wanting to destroy and kill the children of Israel. As the sages said, No calamity comes to the world unless it is for Israel, since, as it says in Tikuneh HaZohar, Israel are the cause of poverty, killing, robbery, and destruction all over the world, the writings of Baal HaSulam. On the other hand, if we act responsibly and unite as one man in one heart, as the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us, we use our egoistic nature correctly, spurring the positive force of connection in nature and radiating it through the network between us to the entire world. Baal HaSulam wrote, "The Israeli nation had been constructed as a sort of gateway by which the sparks of purity would shine upon the whole of the human race the world over. Until they develop to such an extent that they can understand the pleasantness and tranquility that are found in the kernel of love of others, Baal HaSulam, the Avut. The unity that spreads through us to the global network softens the hearts of mankind and brings them closer to each other and diffuses the evil thoughts they have as to how to harm themselves through fascist regimes and, all the more so, how to harm the Jews. When there is love, unity, and friendship, there is no room for any calamity, more vashemish. In other words, the choice is ours. We only have to show the world how to properly connect. A loose connection between us will bring the rise of fascism, whereas a tight connection will lead to its fall." Ynet, December 8, 2016. Religious wars. Comment: political analysts believe that if President Trump creates an alliance between the US, China, and Russia, it will be a breakthrough that will pave a new path of development. Answer: in general, there is no reason to fight today because all that was before, happily, is ending. In the past, a person wanted to be stronger and aspired to conquer more, but not now. There is no such desire anymore. There is free markets all over the world, goods flow freely from one country to another, there is no reason for war. Comment: wars usually had a religious character in the past. Answer: religious wars may still break out, but they will be wars beyond nations. Neither President Trump nor Russia want to conquer the whole world, but fundamentalist Islam wants to conquer the world, the old-fashioned way, because it is still at the level of the 15th century. Islam is considered a young religion because it emerged about 5 to 6 centuries after Christianity. Of course, it would be nice to create a union between the US, Russia, and China. But human egoism won't let that happen. So representatives of these countries should study the wisdom of Kabbalah, which explains how to make the world a better place. They will not be able to become friends without the method of Kabbalah. According to global trends, Nazism is growing, not decreasing. So today there is no room for nationalist policies but only for international policies. We either advance toward connection with everyone openly or toward division and war, even religious war, which it would seem had long passed. I hope the development of Kabbalah will handle all that. From CabTV's News with Michael Leitman, December 7, 2016. How should a student treat the teacher? Question: how should a student who wants to advance in spirituality relate to the teacher? Answer: a student should relate to the teacher as to the Creator. He should also relate to the friend in the same way, since they are the means for attaining the revelation of the Creator. In the spiritual world, the means is identical to the goal. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, August 7, 2016. New Life Number 797. The Lost Tribes Among Us.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Talman Delbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the Israeli society, which is divided into different tribes, factions. We'd like to understand what do we do about it, and how do we establish some kind of connection between everyone. Tal, please. Yeah, on our previous show, we talked about the history of our people that were divided into 12 tribes in the past, and it was something very natural in a very orderly fashion. They knew how to work with it. Today, after being dispersed all around the world and 10 of the tribes were lost altogether, we find ourselves here in some kind of a chaos here in the land of Israel. We're divided in a way that we don't understand, that is unacceptable. No, we're divided in a different way into Ashkenazians and Sephardics and religious and seculars. Yeah, the president also talked about it. And there is great hostility and hate. It's very exilic. It doesn't fit the place. I want to understand, does it have to do with how things were in the past? No, there's no connection. Because today we're also talking about tribes within the Israeli society. No, the tribes are parts according to our spiritual source. And therefore, they were revealed in Jacob, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are right, left, and middle, the three lines in the general soul that that group called the people of Israel started forming in it. And then, from the middle line, or more correctly put, that it's Ketav Uchmand Bina, from their middle began the matter of the 12 tribes. And therefore, the division that we're talking about today, that he is Yemenian, and I'm Ashkenazian, and you're of German descent, Polish descent, Polish. All this nonsense, it's all a result of some kind of an exile. That we see the differences between us today, but these are differences as a result of the exile, not as a result of the soul, of the parts of the soul. And therefore, today, I don't see and can't identify. Today, I can't identify, I can't see on a person what tribe does he belong to, even though that it is possible to distinguish Israel, Levi, and Cohen's, according to an inner sense. You can identify that. What do you mean? I can't explain that, but there are people, and it's really so, that they can identify by looking, by an inner sense, whether someone is a Levi or a Cohen. Before I got married, I went to the Rebbeinat, and I saw that I belonged to Israel or one of those parts, and I never noticed that before. I never paid any attention to it. I never paid any attention to it either. Never meaning until Elijah will come. Why am I saying that it's still not time? Because when we will start connecting in the right process by the upper force, the so-called reforming light, then it will sort us and will show us who belongs to what and so on. It's a process called the revelation of the 12 tribes that will come in the future. Also, as the 10 tribes will become revealed, and then all the 12 tribes will become revealed, and this is how we'll advance. But in the meantime, it doesn't mean anything. We're still in exile, and in exile it means that we can connect according to our physiological force that has nothing to do with spirituality. And also, when we talk about the connection of the people of Israel that the Torah tells us about, then I'm sorry to explain that it has nothing to do with the physical connection, the connection between bodies. nothing to do with that. That it speaks about Moses and Pharaoh and the 12 tribes, about those that are walking in the desert with their banners. These aren't families or tribes. These are their spiritual vessels, their desires, intentions that connect this way between them. And it's not about getting married to some woman, like it says that one man from one tribe went and married a woman from another tribe. No, it's not about the bodies. That some young fellow went and took a young lady and they got married and they had a family. Not at all. But it speaks about the interconnection between the souls. And walking in the desert, it means that they're overcoming and forming and establishing themselves more and more internally. And we can't translate that into the corporeal life, that this is how they were and what they did. It's not precise at all. I don't want to get into it, so not to confuse us, but I just want to say that the Torah does not tell us about the corporeal life, but only about spiritual discernments, and therefore the 12 tribes are 12 kinds of souls that exist in one general soul called the people of Israel, and that it's forbidden for them to mix with each other, integrate with each other. It's really because each one of them comes from a unique spiritual root. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei from the right side, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei from the left side, and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei on the middle line. And this is why there are 12. And also the Torah that tells about the quantities of people, women, children, and so on. It doesn't speak about our bodies. It speaks about spiritual discernment, the extent to which we're spiritually connected. It all speaks only about a person's internality. Therefore, we really don't know what the Torah writes about. Are these differences that we see between us meaningless? In our times, there is no meaning at all, because we're in exile, we're all mixed. We don't understand where are we, who are we at all. But what we're led to do is how to come out of the exile, and when we come out of the exile, we'll receive the true Torah, the Torah of truth. Okay, I understand that today everything's mixed, and no one knows what does he belong to, so let's put that aside. Today when we look at the people of Israel, we see they're divided into many factions. Like Tal started out with saying, the religious, seculars, Ashkenazians, Yemenians, and they're divided into many more factions and so on. Right. Now, from this divided situation, how can we advance towards a state of connection that will give us a feeling that we're one people? Now, when we're looking for an answer for this question, we recall that in our origin, the people of Israel are also divided into 12 tribes, but eventually they compose one people. How? Today, with the different factions that we identify among the people of Israel, how do we bring them together to become one entity? Without any pre-discernments, without any differences. Whoever is drawn to the wisdom of Kabbalah, to the correction of their soul, have to come and implement it. Someone who does not belong to that, meaning he doesn't feel a desire for it yet, he doesn't feel that he belongs to it, he doesn't advance, does not ascribe himself with it, and does not achieve this correction. I don't understand. The people of Israel have to connect? Yes. They're divided into different sectors. No, it's not different sectors. It's just a marketplace. It's like you go into the street when there's some parade or something, and, you know, it's all a mixed multitude. Religious, seculars, right, left, settlers, Tel Avivians, there are many divisions. The way I see it, it's the same. The way the people see it, it's not the same at all. There is a division today. There is a division today? Yes. There are different camps. These are political camps. Not only political. There are many divisions. Yes. So how do these different camps, how do they build an entity called one nation? Why am I asking? Because the direction today is the complete opposite. The separation between the camps is growing, the hatred's growing, and the feeling that we're one people is slowly dissipating. If in the past we could talk about being one people, today there are many people that don't feel that they're one people with anyone who has a different opinion than they do. The right and the left, on both extremes, I don't think that they feel as one. So, from here stems the question, how today, between the different edges of the Israeli society, do we build one nation? How can it connect opposites? Even people that hate each other today. Love covers for all crimes. This is what we do. And I think that in our society, I don't think that I sit with you and a few more hundreds of people or on our congresses where there are thousands. And I'm not talking about men and women, which is a natural division or partition, but we feel that there's a difference in languages. Yes, this still separates. We still have that from Babylon. But besides that, I don't think that when you really start connecting, neither according to race nor anything, still the sex, of course, separates. And it's the right thing, and we make sure that it does not stand in our way. But besides sex, we're trying to skip over the language barrier and to connect equally. So what's the secret? You said that among your students there are different kinds of people of all sorts, races, kinds that are connected, and we'd like for the Israeli society to be connected in that way too. So I'm asking, what is the principle that can connect such opposite people among the people of Israel? Only our connection, where in our connection we discover the upper world. But no one wants to connect with others among the people of Israel nowadays. But they want to get rid of the problems, they want to achieve a whole and perfect state, they want to rise above life and death, they want to achieve the answer to what is the meaning of life. Most of the people that I know don't. Don't let them be. You have nothing to do with them. In the past, 12 tribes composed one nation. Today, the people of Israel, these have to be different camps that compose one nation. The right are a camp, the left are a camp, the religious are a camp, the Ashkenazians are a camp, the Sephardics are a camp. Do we also have to divide into camps that comprise one people? There is no connection between the division. This I understood. Previously I said that it has nothing to do with the original tribes. This doesn't interest me. This happened thousands of years ago. It interests me very much because we have to take on the same form, same pattern. How can we do that? It's a spiritual form. If all of us start connecting, and the reforming light will come, and first of all, will connect us back into one big collective, as it was back in the days of Abraham, where there were no tribes, and in the days of Isaac, there were no tribes, and in the days of Jacob, there were no tribes, and afterwards, from Isaac and on, as their coarseness, as their ego, called Egypt, grew, there we will discover the tribes and the sons of Jacob, meaning those that stemmed from the development that preceded the nation. This is how we will discover ourselves. Let's return to how it is today. The nation is divided into camps. It's not camps. Then factions, I don't know how to call it. It's not a nation. I don't know why you're calling it a nation. This is exactly what I'm saying, that there is no one nation here. We feel very different, separated. So I think that organization is working like Abraham and Babylon, calling everyone to start connecting, regardless of any differences in race, sex, any other kind of difference, doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, love covers for all crimes. Suppose you're Abraham's representative nowadays, and Tal and I, we come from two different factions of the nation of Israel, and you're telling us that we have to connect. What do we do? You have to learn how to connect. What will be the first principle that we'll learn? You learn about human nature. What is the purpose of creation? What was man created for? And how can he realize that? And if that interests you, then you stay in our tent, in Abraham's tent. And if it doesn't, then you're not with us on the path. We say goodbye, and you go back to Nimrod. Okay, if we already made it to you and we want to achieve the connection, so these differences that we experienced in our day-to-day life, will we have to change them somehow? No, we already talked about that. No changes. You only learn how above these differences to build a good, nice, and tight connection above the differences. Because from what I understand is that the important changes are about differences that we're not even aware of, that everyone has a role, and you don't have to dig in that. You don't have to dig in all these things that exist in everyone. We only have to work on the connection. And what do you have inside there? Alas, you have plenty of snakes there. Okay, so the differences with the snakes, and we just want to cover them, but you also said that there are positive differences, that everyone has a unique role. I still don't understand anything about that. I'm still working on the connection. Afterwards, when we will reach a more and more essential qualitative connection, I'll start discovering what can I add to the connection precisely by raising the friction between us. How do we correct that and bring that into the connection, you from your side and me from mine? Okay, so I'm simply trying to understand. How do we come to a mediator? What does he say? First of all, connect. Everything is fine. Everything is beautiful. You want to connect. How nice, how good. What a couple of lovebirds. We've reached this kind of connection. Now, let's raise some of the things that we had against each other, and maybe we could also add that to the connection, and it won't stand in the way of connection, but now we'll be able to even more understand each other. Meaning, we raise the coarseness of youth in Hebrew, and we bring it into the connection, and it strengthens the connection, because love covers for all crimes, and as a result of the crimes, the love will become stronger. You just gave an example of mediation between spouses. With spouses, I can find a common denominator. What could be the common denominator for the different factions in the Israeli society? Once we reach the society, we tell them that we're in danger and we should connect, otherwise we're against nature. No, security-wise, nowadays, it's very clear when there's a war or anything, there's solidarity. This is always going to be this way. No, I'm not talking about that. When war is on the horizon, I'm not talking about that. You won't have a state without a war on the horizon. Forget about that. Until we will thoroughly, finally connect, we'll always feel ourselves threatened. So I want to accelerate the process, not wait for wars and calamities. So explanation. So this is what I'm asking about. Regarding the process of developing an awareness towards us being different, but that we can be connected. That's what it's about. Even though that we're different, we can be connected. Each one is unique. Tal is unique as she is. I'm unique as I am. Maybe we're even opposite, and you're saying that's fine. Tal the way she is, Owen the way he is, but we have to build some kind of a connection bridge between us. Yes. So this is what I don't understand. What can the bridge be? The bridge is that if we want to live a good life, we have to connect with each other. By that, we evoke the positive force of nature and not the negative force, the evil force, which awakens by itself. This is one thing. Another thing is that by our connection, we can also know how to correctly build a family, how to raise our children, build a country and a nation and the world. Also, as a result of our connection, we can reach a state where we will start understanding the upper system called nature, which is governing us and leading us through this entire general development that we're undergoing for millions of years already. How we reach a certain state. Why is it so? Why does nature do it the way it does? Where is it leading us to? What does it want? What kind of form do we have to take on at the end of our development? What is this evolution that we're going through? I want to know. Maybe as a result of knowing, I won't only know about how to make a good and nice life for myself here, but also about the life which is beyond life and death. Man is drawn to it one way or another, as opposed to animals. There are many things that we can achieve as a result of our connection. If we're not connected, we're like a dead body. If we connect ourselves like cells, we start living between us as a living body. And we can start feeling the vitality that then flows through our living, connected body. And this life is already a spiritual life from a higher degree. There is what to benefit. Besides my neighbors not ruining my life and me not ruining their life, by which I ruin my life in return. Look what's happening among the people of Israel, that we're constantly in danger. Look what's happening. Look how the nations of the world are treating us, the way they hate us, and it's all because we're to blame. Were we to advance according to this process that you're talking about, then we would become connected as one body, and everything's flowing and connected. How would the division between us and this one body, what would it look like with these different parts? Of course there would be different parts. What, you have right, left, religious, seculars, or something else? Something else. What is that something else? I don't know. If you're asking me, I really don't know. I don't know what form will take on as a result of undergoing the process of mediation, of connection, and for us to be a bit closer to each other. I don't know, because it happens by the positive force. It's done by the positive force that we evoke in nature. Is there kind of a returning back to nature here? No. Nature is the higher force, and then this higher force, which formed our entire reality and this entire mechanism, and that is shifting us from one state to another. This force has to also operate on us and connect us. It's not that we invent our connections. We sign the treaties that aren't worth the paper that they're signed on. So we have to do that. What form will it take? I don't know. And on purpose I want to say that I don't know and I don't want to know. I'm allowing the higher force to work. Enough with my reason, with my mind. I've been working with it for thousands of years, and what did we get from it? Only problems, ever-growing problems. What is this upper force that you're talking about that will come and arrange everything? Nature. What is nature? I don't know. Where are you living? What kind of world are you living in? Inside what forces, inside what system that's operating on you, that formed you, that made you throughout billions of years on Earth, and you're developing? How they develop you? You have no idea what's going to happen the next moment or tomorrow, because you're entirely under these forces that are controlling your entire life. But the difference is that I already do want to flow together with them. I want for these forces to treat me, to take care of me in a good and comfortable way, and I understand that the only way that they will take care of me in a good, nice, and comfortable way is that I'll be close to them, as similar as possible to them, by being connected between us, by us trying to be connected between us. That will make these forces take care of us in a good and nice way, and then we will become a connected nation. I don't know what's going to happen. No, connected, you're saying that that's what's going to happen. You're talking about it the entire show. I don't even want to talk about that. Why? Because the main thing for me is to be compatible with nature, with this upper force. It's a good force that connects everything, and it wants to bring us the connection, and that our egos don't want to connect, and we're all the time in strife and conflict. This is opposed to that force, and therefore we suffer. It's preferable for us to make some kind of correct connections between us, as the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us, and then we come under it, and we open an umbrella over us where love covers for all crimes. It sounds like we get into an elevator and it raises us to a new degree. Yes. Now, on this new level, will there be different individuals there, or everyone becomes one size? Everyone become the same? No. Everyone are very different. Is it various? Much more than today. But all of us are directed towards completion. Completion. A good, nice addition that each wants to give the others. That's called the correct system that existed in the past, and it was called Adam before the sin. And now we have to once again return to that system called Adam after the sin. What's the difference? The ego that broke out and grew and became revealed now, it will help us become even more strongly connected in new ways, and then we'll discover nature, ourselves, on a greater, more revealed, eternal level. The principle of completion, is it a key principle in this process? Yes. What does it mean? That we help each other, that we complete each other. What you need from me, I give you. What I need from you, you give me. And this is how everyone is. A puzzle. Puzzle. Our time's up, Dr. Lightman. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Tal. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Rising to a new degree. The Torah, Deuteronomy 12:26. However, your holy offerings which you will have, and your vows, you shall carry, and come to the place that the Lord chooses. Holy offerings mean everything precious that I have in me, reshimot, spiritual information records, qualities, forces, and desires. I have to uncover them, bring them to new contact with the Creator, and by doing that, gradually rise. I have to constantly analyze my highest states and bring them to unification with the Creator. All this is for the sole purpose of discovering that what I have is suddenly transformed from the elevated states into low states. What was an achievement on the previous level becomes a transgression on the next degree. When I establish a contact with the next degree, with the next revelation of the Creator, all of my best, wonderful inclinations toward unity, toward the love of others, toward everything, is unexpectedly revealed as evil to me. This is constant holiness at the lower level becomes evil at the upper degree. Everything I've considered unshakable in me becomes rubbish. I see how my preconceived notions, relationships, definitions, rules, and my perception of the world disappear. There is nothing in them. No truth at all, no value, and no spirituality. All of a sudden, I have discovered that everything I considered to be my contact with spirituality is just zero. At the same time, the new degree is opened to me because I've advanced with faith above reason. I am ready to reject everything that used to be me and rise above it. Faith above reason is a state when I accept the qualities of the Creator, bestowal and love, above what exists in me now. I am ready to accept completely opposite values and desires and intentions to my current state and work according to them. Meanwhile, the next degree is completely opposite to the previous level. Only one law exists: to rise in bestowal above the will to receive. All past is completely erased and I am building a new degree. From Cab TV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, July 6, 2016.